Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Do you remember the prodigal son? He really blew it. He was kind of a bad kid, wasn't he? He took the inheritance. He was kind of a snot, wasn't he? He wanted his inheritance, and he wanted to go spend it, today we would say, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And so he went out, and it says he spent it all on harlots and wild living, right? He wanted to party hardy. But of course, as it does, money runs out unless you treat it wisely, and he didn't. And he ended up broke. And the only job he could get was feeding the pigs. A very unclean job. And he grew so hungry that he had to eat the husks that the pigs were eating. So imagine how he must have smelled. He didn't have any friends by this point because the people you spend all your money on usually don't stick around when the money's gone. But he's smart enough to know, he says, you know, I'm not worthy to go home and be my father's son again. I'm not worthy of that. But maybe my dad would give me a job. Maybe I could just work for him in the field, so at least then I'd have food to eat. There's nothing good about this kid or what he's done. But the father, this is fascinating to me, and I love it because it reminds me of me, of all of us. We don't come to Christ because we're good, do we? You know, we come because we need help. And usually, I don't know about you guys, for me, I came to Jesus because I had managed to mess up my life so badly that only God could fix it. I knew that I had no hope of fixing it. And I was completely broken. My heart was broken. My soul was broken. Completely broken. I couldn't function anymore. And I had known a great deal of success, but I was broken. Well, this boy, he came back to his home. And it says the father, he ran to meet him. He ran to meet him. That means he was watching every day down that road looking for this kid to come back. Isn't that amazing? And when the kid came back, he didn't ask him, what'd you do with the money? What'd you do with all that? You really screwed up, didn't you? No, he never says it, does he? It's like it never happened. He falls on his neck and he kisses him. And he calls for the best robe. The best robe in the house. He says, go get the ring. Go get shoes for his feet. And go kill that cat we've been fattening, that calf we've been fattening up for a party. Go get that. We're going to have a feast. My son has come home. And he never accuses the boy. He never measures him. He never looks at what he's done. He doesn't even ask a question. And when the older brother has an attitude and is judgy, right? The older son's kind of judgmental. All the father will say is, you know, son, you're always with me. This is what he says. Son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. What a statement is that? In other words, you could have gone to the barn and gotten a calf anytime you wanted. He said, but it is right that we should celebrate. Because my son was lost and he's found. I got my boy back. When we come to God, that's how he is. He doesn't tally up the score. Here's the good news. That's not just when you first meet him, when you're first born again. That's as long as you know him, as long as you're alive. If you come back and you say, I blew it again, I'm still not worthy, accept any worthiness you give me, right? Which, thank God, he does. He gives us his righteousness. But other than that, we still blow it, don't we? And what the Father is always saying is, come home. This is home. You've been around the world, you sailed the seven seas, you did your thing. But come home. And home is him. He's home. Do you ever feel out of place with people sometimes? or you go to a party and you feel like the oddball and you're like, I don't fit here. You know, I never did fit. You know, I always felt like I didn't fit. I've always been the oddball. But there's one place I always feel like I'm at home, like I'm wholly accepted in spite of any faults, flaws, mistakes, errors, whether I blew it or whether I did something right. You know, doesn't matter. He's not even looking at that. He's not tallying up the rights and wrongs. This is amazing. He's always got his arms open wide saying, come home. Let's fellowship. He wants, when he invented people, you know, God did create the heavens and the earth, and he did create humans, and he created you and me. Do you know that the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made? It says that you were knitted in your mother's womb. It says that the number of your days was written in his book before one of them came to be. You personally, not just other humans, you personally, your name is written in a book in heaven that says how many days you have. The Bible says he knows how many hairs are on your head. You know, only a father cares that much. A true father, a true loving father, loves enough. And so when we look at what he was trying to do in Eden, he wasn't looking for a workhorse. He wasn't looking for someone that would accomplish great things, although he does let us, because he's so good, he lets us be co-laborers. The Bible says we get to be co-laborers with him, and that's awesome. But that's not our primary purpose. You know, I think we're in danger sometimes of thinking we're here to do the work. Now, that is important, and he'll use us. And I'm thankful he does use us, that he doesn't just cast us aside. But he created Adam because he wanted a son. Isn't that interesting? He just wanted someone to love. See, love has to have an object. If you were love, if you were living liquid love, you'd be looking for someone to pour it on, wouldn't you? Edgar was a very loving, he had a huge amount of love. You know, Rick Joyner says certain people are born with units of love, more units than other people. You know, Edgar was born with a whole dose. And he had a lot of love to give. And so love needs an object. You have to have someone to love. And that's why God made you. And our problem is, and I think maybe over the years the church got a little bit messed up, trying to do right by saying, well, we need to do this and don't do that. And those things are true. There's some things we shouldn't do. But not because God's tallying against us, but because it opens the door. Sometimes when you do something, it's like a little kid that puts his hand on a stove. God doesn't want you to burn your hand, so he says, don't do that. It's not because of his anger, it's because he's protecting you. Because he loves you. And so God wants to raise us up to his heights. And somehow in the garden, something got broken. Adam and the Father were very close. Adam and Eve, you know, the Bible says that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. They actually hung out together. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that that's what God wanted? To walk with you in the garden in the cool of the day, every day, to hang out with you, to love on you, and to get to know you. It's a relationship. And somewhere over the years, we started to exchange doctrines and rules and do's and don'ts and I should this or I should that or am I doing enough or is he mad at me? We started to get focused on what we were doing right or wrong. Now, there is some truth to that. There's some truths that for our protection, there's things we should and shouldn't do. But the primary reason you're here, not here tonight, but here on the earth, is because you're his child. And God is looking for a closeness. He's actually looking to knit his heart together with yours. And do you know, sometimes we fight that because we say, I'm not good enough. And he says, well, that's why I provided my son. my mom, who's now with the Lord, when she was older, she was diagnosed with a terrible disease called multiple myeloma. It's just a dreadful thing. And I started to talk to her about healing, and I said, I really believe that God can heal and wants to heal. And she had been raised in a Mormon church, and that was very, very much works-oriented. You very much had to earn and work for and earn anything you got from God. And so I was telling her about healing, and she looked up and said, I just don't feel worthy, and out of my mouth. You know, sometimes you don't plan these things. But she said, I don't feel like I'm worthy. And I said, you're not. That's why Jesus had to die. Because none of us, no single one of us, could ever do what he did. None of us gets it right. And if we think we do, we're deceived. Anything we do right is because he's doing it through us. His grace is there to do it through us. And so it's a much better, you'll actually do more for God in more power with more results if you can allow him to do through you what he does so well instead of us trying to do it for him. So sometimes we separate ourselves from God by saying, well, I just don't know if I'm worthy. See, because she didn't believe she was worthy and didn't think he would consider it, she felt like there could be no connection. I said, but that's why Jesus died. Because he took all of our mess, past, present, future, all of our mess, and he nailed it to the cross. It went on his body. My sin, all my sin. We could say, I killed Jesus. My sin, which is large, right? The sins of the whole world went on his body. Isn't that amazing? What was he doing? He was taking our sin so that he could exchange it for his holiness. So that when we would stand before the Father, all the Father would see is the holiness of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that just makes me want to say, wow. And here's the thing. Sometimes as Christians, we kind of forget that. We knew it when we got saved, because didn't we say the sinner's prayer, Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, be Lord of my life. We said something like that. But over the years, sometimes we can start to get back into the works thing of I'm not good enough, I'm not doing it right, I don't think God's pleased with me, I don't think I can fellowship with him. And the whole time, God is saying, but I don't look at that, I'm looking at Jesus in you, who is holy, and his holiness, it never is moved. And so that's why the Bible says, this is a quote, you are accepted. If you belong to Jesus, you are accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus. So we who wouldn't have a prayer, we wouldn't have a shot at fellowshipping with the Father or being able to experience his presence or encounter him, right? We can come freely without fear. We can come boldly, the Bible says, come boldly into the holy place. We can come boldly before the throne of God. How could we have boldness? Well, through faith in what Christ did. It certainly couldn't be faith in what I did. I didn't do anything right on my best day. And if you can get a hold of this and have peace with this, you can have peace with God 24/7. Because you know, I never did anything right, but his mercy is upon me. His love is over me, and he loves me every day, no matter what. So I can always have fellowship with him. Have you ever felt, don't raise your hand, I know you have, because it's common. You felt like, oh, I wish I could be closer to God, but I just feel like, oh, I just feel like he's not happy with me. Right? And I know people feel like that because there's an enemy. There actually, Jesus said so, there is an enemy of your soul who wants to keep you separated. And the best way he knows to do it, one of his key tricks is to always say, God doesn't want you around. He likes that guy, and he likes that guy, and he likes that guy, but no, not you. Like you're somehow the exception to the rule. But if you believe that, which I used to, if you believe that, then you haven't really understood what Jesus did on the cross. This is very liberating. I used to have what they call guilt and condemnation, which means, you know, I felt like nothing I ever did was good enough and that I was always in trouble with God. And I wanted to do right with all my heart, but I just couldn't seem to do it. I mean, I fasted, I prayed, I read my Bible, I was doing works. And God had to say to me this. This is how he taught me. He said, Holly, if you had 30 days and you did, let's say you did everything right. You read your Bible, you fasted, you prayed, you witnessed, you didn't say anything bad, you didn't have a bad thought. He said, at the end of that 30 days, your righteousness is filthy rags. And my righteousness is 100% and belongs to you because of what I did, not because of what you did. And now let's say you have another 30 days and you don't do so well. You have an attitude, you stub your toe, you didn't say the right thing, you didn't read, you didn't fast, you didn't witness to anybody. He said, at the end of that 30 days, guess what? Your righteousness, it's filthy rags. And my righteousness is 100%. And it's given to you because of what I did, never because of what you did. And so, because I didn't know enough truth, I was measuring, I was actually staying out of God's presence because I was measuring myself and judging myself. Paul said he didn't even do that. He said, I don't even judge myself, because he knew better. Right? Because what human, because it's, listen, even if you did had a perfect day, which has anyone ever had a really perfect day? Not one snotty thought? Not one? Not even one? Not one? Even if you had that day, we have in our physical body what's called a sin nature. Jesus didn't just die for your sins to pay for them. He died to redeem you from your sin nature. How does that happen? See, a lot of people come to Christ because they're told, and this is good, this is a good thing, Jesus will forgive you of your sins, wipe the slate clean. Okay, that's true, that is true. But he didn't just forgive your sins according to the Bible. He recreates you in your spirit. Literally, you are a new creation, and that person, that new person, is actually a heavenly being in a mortal body. Uh-oh. I'm telling you, this is Bible. And this is what Jesus was. Jesus was holy perfection from heaven in a mortal body. Well, guess what? If you're born again, so are you. And he's aware we have a sin nature. He's aware our flesh stinks. Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing, not one. And if you can get this and come to terms with it and be at peace with the fact that I love Jesus with all my heart, I want to do right, I want to live holy, and I work very, very much at living holy because I love him, because he's worthy of it. I work harder at it than probably a lot of people do. But does that make my flesh any better? Not so much. No, what it does is it helps me to live with him, live closer to him, because my heart is no longer condemned. But what he has done is he has made it so that no matter what day of the week it is, or what you've lived through, or what has happened to you, oh man, I really want to go off there, that his arms are still open wide. Now, when he redeems us, he'll say, like he said to that man, he healed that guy. That, remember the guy that was at the pool for 38 years? And he was kind of a whiny baby. Remember him? And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? You know, me, I'd be like, what do you think I'm laying here for 38 years? Of course I want to be healed. But Jesus heals him. And then says to him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Was he yelling at him? Was he saying, boy, you know, you got nailed, and if you do worse, you're going to get nailed worse. Was he saying God will get you? No, he was saying, don't open the door of sin, because the enemy will come after you. That's what he does. He looks for the open door. Now, when I said I wanted to leap off there, you know, everyone's gift is different. But one of the things that happens to me is sometimes I'm aware of the brokenhearted. I'm aware when someone's broken. And when I got to the part about brokenness, I could feel some people, not everyone, of course, but there's a few people in here that life has been too hard for you and you have been beaten up by life. And there's a brokenness, and you're serving God and you love God and you have a good heart, but in the spirit you're kind of limping, or in your soulish realm you're kind of limping because there's a brokenness that has not been healed. Do you know one of the first things Jesus ever said to us is, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to literally heal your insides, your outsides too. But right now, I believe tonight, Jesus wants to heal the brokenhearted. Those that you, some of you, one person, I'm just going to go there. 16 years ago, something happened to you that was like a landmark devastation. It was very strong. I believe you even remember the date. That's why I'm saying 16 years. And it was like something exploded in your life, and it has never been quite right since then. And you've handled it the best that you could. You handled it. You've kept going. You've stayed strong. But inside, what happens is a trauma or a brokenness or a scar can happen, and you may not even show it to other people. Sometimes people go through life wounded and broken, and they never show it. They never share it. They just handle it. He's the only one I know that can heal that. But I have seen him heal years of devastation in people. I've seen him do it. I can't do it, but he can. And he's so good at it. And let me just share this. Do you know that that is also part of why he went to the cross? He bore our grief. He bore our sorrows. He took our sorrows and our griefs. That's why he was able to say, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And can I say this too? It is through relationship with him that we receive healing. Relationship with God is the single most important thing we can know about God. If tough times come, you know what will save you? If you have a relationship with him. If difficulties come, if there were to be, I'm not saying there will be, but let's say there was a war, you know what will save you? A relationship with him. A real, honest, working closeness with him. Because what happens is, in times of duress, he'll whisper to you, go to the left, go to the right. Don't go there today. Go back over here. Call so-and-so. Through relationship, your life can be saved, your soul can be pieced back together. There's someone in here you've actually thought about the old poem about Humpty Dumpty, because there was so much brokenness that you thought, no one can put this back together. And you even wondered if Jesus could put it back together. But I hear him saying, not only can I put it together, I will put you back together. And what I put back together will be better than before. I can make you more whole, more complete than you ever were before. That's what I did on the cross. I purchased your healing. Don't wait till heaven to get your healing. Don't wait till you die and go to heaven to have relationship with him. Life on earth is so much better when you're walking with him in the garden. Don't walk alone. It's much tougher. But if you can hang out with him, It's a simple thing. I think what we did was we started to trade in, and you know, all of us preachers were guilty too. We find some great keys that work, and you know, we all do it. I do it. I teach. Here's a great key to this and a great key to that, but those keys can never supersede. They can never override a real relationship. Everything works within having a relationship with your Father, a real one. You know, where you hang out with him, where he's, you know, when I first got saved, I grew up in a home where we didn't ever talk about God. We were not Christians at all. And in fact, I grew up hearing missionaries made fun of. My dad was a mocker. And my mom dragged us to a denominational church strictly to keep peace, frankly, with my grandparents who were saved. And so I knew nothing. I wanted nothing to do with any of it. I thought church was a crashing bore. I really did. I just absolutely hated, you know, wait, you give me 2 days off in a week. I mean, I'm like, think of it seven or something. 2 days off out of the week, and you want me to put on uncomfortable shoes, an uncomfortable dress, and go sit on a sticky wooden bench and be bored to death on one of those 2 days. Not okay. So I was not a I was not a good kid. And my mom said, well, you have to go till you're confirmed, and then you can do what you want. So, of course, that was my last day in church. Confirmed, out of here. I wanted nothing to do with God because I didn't understand the gospel message. And also, somehow I knew that to know Jesus was that he would be Lord of your life, and I wasn't ready to have someone else, thank you, be Lord of my life. I wanted to be Lord, right? So, of course, I was Lord of my own life until I wrecked it completely like the prodigal son. Managed to wreck it so completely that I went, okay, uncle. Here's what I didn't expect. When I came back to God, broken, didn't know anything, I was so ignorant, I didn't even know if the Bible had been written by God. That's how ignorant I was. Didn't know. Because we didn't know in our house. When I came back to God, God began to interact with me in very strange ways. And I knew it was him. He would do things, Karen was talking about it, that had his fingerprints, where you knew it was him. And I started to read the Bible in case he wrote it. And I would sit, I had this big, giant, overstuffed chair, and I would sit in this chair and I would read it, and I would come across something and I would ask a simple question, like a kid would, you know. And I would just keep reading. Within a day, usually within 24 hours, I would see a scripture or hear someone say the answer, but it would come with a boom, you know, like ting. After about 5 times of those, I started to realize, wait a minute, God of the universe wants to have he wants to talk to me? I'm not anybody. Why would he want to talk to me? Why would he care what questions I ask? Because that's who he is. Because he was waiting. Do you know that he was seeking you before you even knew about him? Seeking you out. Following you with love. Hoping you would turn. Do you know the Bible says, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. You did not choose me, he says, but I chose you. Isn't that wonderful? He sought you out because he loves you so. And when I started to realize, I fell in love with God. I fell in love with his word. I fell in love with the fact that the creator of the universe wanted to have a relationship. I couldn't wait to come home from work at night to sit in that big chair with that Bible for hours and just hang out with him. Now, this is going to sound like a strange thing to say, but God became my very best friend. I didn't know much, but I knew he was real. And I knew if I had a question, he'd help me find the answer. Because I didn't know that all Christians didn't have that in a relationship. I thought that all Christians had a close relationship with their Father, to where the Father was their best and closest friend. I thought everyone was like that. And see, I wasn't in church, because I thought church was a bore. And to be honest, I didn't think they knew him, because the church I had gone to, I don't think they kind of did. Oops. Not judging them, I'm just saying, they were preaching out of the Reader's Digest, and they were preaching politics. And even as a little kid, I thought, something doesn't feel right about this. So when I got saved, I wasn't going to go to church. I didn't think they knew him. And so one day, after about a year of being in the chair with God and learning how cool he is and how fun and how if I'm in trouble, I could say, what do I do with this? He would find a way to let me know. Oh my gosh, the most brilliant mind in the universe will tell me what to do when I'm in trouble? Will tell me why I'm feeling bad or what to do about it? Will tell me how to fix a relationship with somebody? Will tell me when that relationship is not for me? That's the kind of friend he is? And oh wait, he knows everything? This was stunning to me. Who could imagine such a person? And so after about a year, I said, God, is there a church you go to? Like, is there a church that you like? And so I stumbled into a little community church one day. And we had this, on Wednesday nights, they had this little group that met in the basement. It wasn't even church. They were all people that were messed up and broken. And some of them were going through divorces. And some of them were addicted to drugs. And some of them were just trying to find their way. And I bumbled into it. And we became so close. We would just share. We were all real honest. We would just share our hearts and our worries and our needs and our problems. And God would just help us. We were like this little broken band of people, you know, finding our way. And I remember one night, this was, not really a Baptist church, but they were, you know, a community church. It was very, just sweet. It was just sweet. And I remember one night I was sitting there, and we had divided into four groups, which we didn't usually do. And our group got done first. And a mist, to me, I thought the mist filled the room. I realize now not everyone encountered this. But I turned, and it was like the whole room was full of mist. And I could feel his love for every single person in that room, how much he loved them. And I started to cry. I'm going to start crying again because it was so amazing. You know, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I believe that's when I got filled with the Spirit, even though I didn't know anything about the gifts of the Spirit till much later. But I believe that's when I really was filled with the Spirit. And when I finally, I was just like blown away by the love of God for these people, every one of them. And tears are running down my face, and I turn, and there's this lady, and she's just watching me like love is pouring out of her eyes for me. I'll never forget it. It was like I realized what this is all really about. It's not really about so much of the stuff that we've been told it's about. At its core, being a believer is about having a relationship, a friendship with God. And when you mature, you want to also make him Lord, because that's where he really shines, when he's Lord and you're not, and you let him be Lord. You let him run your life. You let him make the decisions, because he never makes a bad one. He never makes a mistake. And so I felt like today I was praying for this meeting tonight, and you know, sometimes I'll say, Lord, will you give me, you know, some scriptures to share? Will you give me some ideas? And all he would say was relationship. His heart is crying out for relationship with his children. And he hates it when the enemy makes us feel like we are not loved by God, not accepted in the beloved. When we try to add to what Jesus has done with our whatever's. What Jesus did was so pure and so holy, if we were to try to add to it, we would actually taint it. What he did for all. And he did it all. And we can't really add to it. When we want to serve him, we do it because he's worthy, not to earn something, right? So I felt like the Lord wanted to kind of sweep out some of the stuff, because I feel like he wants to have a heart-to-heart relationship with you, with every person in this room. You know, we are his children. That's what he calls us. If you're born again, do you know the Bible says you're born from above? Isn't that something? That your spirit man is actually born from above. You may not know it, but you are a heavenly being. And in that, you are like him. In that part of you, you are like him. That's what the Bible says. That's why it says, he who knew no sin became sin. Think about it. He became sin. He allowed sin to invade his body, and sickness and grief and sorrow, brokenheartedness, blindness, everything came upon his body. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness. The Bible says, Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know why? You don't have a new spirit. If you're not born again, you don't have a way to connect with the Father. But if you're born again, you are a new creation. And then, of course, you go to heaven when you die, because when your body passes away, that spirit just steps over. Isn't that amazing? That is good news. So I'm going to have everybody just close your eyes for a minute. I feel like there's people here that you have never been born again, or you have been, but you're just hearing relationship and saying, man, I want more. I didn't know I could have so much more. I want to be close to the Father. I want to know I'm loved by God. If you're either of those things, just I want you to put your hand up. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Father. Father, right now I pray for those who raised their hand. I pray, Father, that they will come so close to you, that their hearts will be knitted so close to you. Father, that they'll truly walk in the new creation, that they won't just have it, but they'll walk in it forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.